Big Bust.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. An already weakened Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation took another hit when it seized Florida's Bank United yesterday. It's the biggest bank failure of the year, and it won't be the last. This morning, branches across the Sunshine State will welcome customers into a financial institution that looks and sounds and acts every bit as the original bank did, but with new owners. In Miami, here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
Bank United was Florida's biggest bank, with $13 billion in assets. Its demise will cost taxpayers nearly $5 billion. That makes it the second most expensive bank failure in this economic crisis, after IndyMac. Real estate expert Jack McCabe says Bank United specialized in the riskiest types of home mortgages.
And that was ultimately their downfall. It was a great profit maker for them in the early years, but it was an anchor that they couldn't shed.
Bank United is the 34th bank to fail this year. That's compared to 25 all of last year. Chris Mayer is a professor at Columbia Business School.
This is just a sign of what we're going to continue to see, which is bank failures, particularly among small to mid-size banks.
Bank United has been sold to a group of investors. Its 85 branches reopened this morning under the same name. In Miami, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Stocks took some more hits yesterday. The S&P 500 dropped about 1.5%. NASDAQ nearly 2%. The Dow dropped 130 points, about 1.5%, to close at 8292. Asian markets closed lower for the most part today. The Nikkei and Hang Seng dropped between 4 and 0.8%. European shares are mostly up right now, averaging below 1%. Oil is above $61 a barrel again today. Investors apparently hedging against inflation and a weakening U.S. dollar, and the price of gas is up as well. The national average at about $2.36 a gallon, according to AAA. But that's not stopping people from embarking on some Memorial Day journeys. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
At a gas station in Los Angeles, Aaron McCall is filling up at $2.87 a gallon. That high price tag isn't stopping her from going on a fishing trip this weekend.
It's still better than it used to be, so it still seems like it's cheap enough to travel because, you know, a few months ago it was just horrible.
And Rushir Kadakia says it won't get much worse. He's a global oil market expert at Cambridge Energy Research Associates.
More than likely, what the consumer's feeling moving into the summer, these are probably going to be the high prices that they feel throughout the entire summer.
Kadakia says the price of gas has been rising along with the price of a barrel of oil, and oil has been bubbling up as the stock market has rallied. Kadakia says it's all about expectations of a turnaround in the world economy.
Oil prices can move up in sympathy with the equity market, but at some point, the fundamentals tend to catch up.
And Kadakia says right now the fundamentals are low demand and high supply. He says it's quite possible the price of gas will drop as the summer goes on. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Maybe your travel plans are taking you to the desert, to fabulous Las Vegas. Maybe you'll be snapping pictures of all the bright lights and colorful surroundings. One notable tourist attraction is now on the National Register of Historic Places. The Las Vegas Welcome Sign at the southern end of the Strip was created way back in 1959. A group of hotel owners requested it. The red, blue, and yellow display cost $4,000 then. Clark County, Nevada officials say the sign's new status will fit in nicely with the county's centennial celebration this year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. American Public Media presents The Next American Dream. What will it look like? Find out more at nextamericandream.org.
It's May, and for the college crowd, it's graduation time. Cause for celebration and time for harsh reality. That is the mountain of debt that's accumulated for those who are finishing up. While repayment can be a big burden, commentator Robert Reich says he has an idea that might make it a little easier.
The average young person now graduating from college has to repay almost $22,000 of student loans. That's a record, partly because college costs have continued to rise even during the downturn, and because other sources of college funding have taken big hits, like home equity loans and 529 plans that allowed families to sock money away for college. But how can young people repay this much money when the job market is so bad? The law doesn't allow college loans to be discharged in personal bankruptcy. Even when they do find jobs, college grads have no choice but to take the job that pays the most. They can't afford to do what they really might want to do, become, say, a social worker or writer or legal services attorney. Now, this problem won't go away when the economy recovers. College debt burdens have been rising for years, and the career choices of many newly minted graduates are narrowing to those that help repay college loans. We need a new system. So here's my proposal. Any college student can get full funding from the government with only one string attached. Once they've graduated and are in the workforce, they pay 10% of their incomes for the first 10 years of full-time work into the same government fund they drew on to finance their college education. Now, maybe this formula will need to be adjusted up or down to cover all the costs, and surely some people will game the system, as they do every other one. But the essential idea is that linking the cost of college to subsequent wages makes college affordable to everyone, and linking repayment to a fixed percentage of wages for a limited number of years enables all graduates to follow their dreams into whatever work they want, without worrying about earning enough to repay a loan. Those who end up in relatively high-paying jobs subsidize those who end up in relatively low-paying ones. It's fair, it's simple, and good for society as well as the individual. So happy graduation!
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. You can share your thoughts with us and check out the Scratch Pad with our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, inside our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. Have a very nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.